Everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It's 4:34 p.m. on the 2nd of September, 2020. I can't believe it's September. Oh, I can't believe the summer's closing down. I don't like that. I mean, it's been so wonderful this summer. Such beautiful blue skies and warm temperatures, and now it's gray, it's cloudy, it's not real cold yet, but it's changing, and I don't want it to change. I guess I'm going to have to deal with it changing. I have something I want to read quickly, and then I'm going to listen to a clip after that. But the clip relates in a way, and in other words, I think if we don't have the Meyer material, we're gonna lose our optimism. And this next individual is a very good journalist. I'd love to interview him. I think he just doesn't have the Meyer material. He may never have the Meyer material in this lifetime, and that's okay. But let me read just a few things, and then I'm gonna play this clip and talk about it a little bit. If the human being wants to progress, and therefore also to evolve, it is not only absolutely necessary that he or she trusts his or her own potential. Rather, it is his or her inescapable obligation so that he or she is able to use his or her own power. So it's our obligation to trust in our own potential, to use our own power. And this section in The Might of Thoughts is all about optimism. And I think that's something we could really use right now. But listen to this fellow. I found him extremely interesting. His name is Patrick Howley. And I think he has a website called Big League Politics.
We've been kind of hands-off with a lot of these people who are basically the useful idiots for the globalist regime. And if you think about my life, you know, as a 30-year-old millennial, as a white man, my life has been terrible the entire time that I've lived on this planet, in this country, in this society, because you have the same kinds of people go from one phase of your life to the next. The girls named Sarah, who are, you know, the group leaders in public school, sitting cross-legged, you know, scolding you in public school, then become the corporate HR manager, and they're enforcing the HR book and the wokeness and the diversity. And meanwhile, you've got the creditors calling you over and over and over again, and you can't declare bankruptcy because Joe Biden made it so that it's very difficult to declare bankruptcy now because, you know, he was in bed with the credit card companies, including MBNA, and the executive from MBNA.
The Clintons got it legalized with Biden for all the loan sharking and payday loans. They're just scum.
Yes, the life that we lead, which is automated, which is nobody wants to help you, which is everybody's always calling you, taking money away from you, kicking you in the face, all of this has been set up in recent decades by very idiotic, corrupt people. Joe Biden is the face of that. Joe Biden has spent 47 years in politics screwing over the people of this country to the point where now people like me have a difficulty walking down the street without getting confronted with violence. Meanwhile, every single aspect of our lives is being destroyed, trampled on by these idiots. And if we even complain about it, then many people who are normies from the previous generation will say that it's my fault and tell me to stop whining as we invite the entire world here into the United States of America because they're smoking dope and they think there's some kind of egalitarian good to erasing the borders of this country. Meanwhile, it's the immigrants who are joining in on these riots. When you saw that guy getting beat up on the train station in Philadelphia, it was the girls with the hijabs filming him and laughing about it. In Minnesota, it was the Somalis who kicked off this entire thing. We are not a shopping world for the entire world. It is time for people like me who have led miserable lives in this country to assert ourselves and say enough is enough. We're going to lead.
Now, you could probably say this guy isn't a optimist. I think that's probably, you probably caught that, although he's willing to lead, which I think is the first one of the important steps to having optimism. You've got to trust in your own ability and your own power. Let me continue in the Might of Thoughts book, page 222. In this world, if this absolutely necessary strength is not present, then failure is pre-programmed right down the line, because without this strength of life, there is no constancy in life and evolution. Without all kinds of real strength of life, the human being is so beaten about by the winds of life that he or she lives a constant struggle for existence, which always threatens to crumble or shatter him. This may indeed be described somewhat starkly and darkly, but may each human being who reads these lines just recall everything to memory which has happened to him or her up until this point in his or her life, or which can still happen in the future in terms of errors, mistakes, wrong actions, illnesses, pains, frustrations, as well as accidents, losses, and disappointments of all kinds, just to name the most important thing which the human being must live. Just unemployment alone is able to bring so much hardship to one human being or another that he or she is broken by it. If he or she lacks the necessary strength of life, every human being must learn to think and to use the might of the thoughts in order to cope with all things of life in a form which is really good, or indeed neutral, positive, equalized, and to benefit from them, the unvirtues and everything negative, harmful, or indeed of a form which is asartong, and thereby destructive and annihilating, must be overcome in order to give that which is evolutive and its appropriate place. One human being or another may have to remain spared up until now from all of these terrible things, but at some time or another, it will or can affect him or her if he or she does not trust in his or her own potential or does not create it. And if there is actually no real inner resistance in such a moment, then the aggressive, terrible things simply bowl the human being over. Therefore, it is necessary to search for the source of the life power and to develop the power. That word life power is a Lebenskraft in the German. I love that compound word. So this is the power that's available in our consciousness if we tap into it. We have to learn to be neutral, positive in our thinking, equalized and balanced in our thinking. And then you can learn, it's always good to memorize a certain portion of things so you can speak to your own consciousness and tell yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck, I am satisfied. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. So we should be strengthening our thoughts. One way to strengthen your thoughts is to say those things from the book here out loud. And this is talked about in the Talmud of Emmanuel book, where Emmanuel was talking about speaking to his consciousness, or that we should learn to speak to our own consciousness. The other thing is the wish dream. Take your mind somewhere else, doing something neutral, maybe laying in a cot on a beautiful hillside, playing with your cats, sweeping out the garage, something neutral. Get your mind off of things that are promoting negative thoughts. So this is how we learn to be optimists. We have to trust in our own potential. Therefore, in every way, The human being must trust in him or herself and in his or her own power. That's from somewhere in here. I almost forgot that. I need to update my list of things to tell myself, and so I don't lose all these wonderful sayings. Gosh, even though I always, there's a certain group of them that I do speak to myself almost every day about. There's just so many in this book. It's just incredible. I have another little bit of information, clip-wise, I think that I want to try to play for you. And I'll try to tie it into the material as much as possible.
That there are still a lot of people on the conservative side who walk around and say, oh, well, you know, a Wall Street bailout isn't really socialism because they're propping up the economy. Well, explain the mechanism of that. How do they prop up the economy? How is anyone propped up? You know how many jobs we've lost in the last couple of months because of this scamdemic? You know how many businesses are shut down forever? You know how many people can't pay their rent? So Trump actually had to do an executive order that landlords couldn't evict you. And you were just going month to month on whether or not there's going to be a new executive order. So 30 million people don't get thrown outside. They are taking all of the money. They don't want us to have all of the money. And if you think that it's somehow, a normal thing for Jeffrey Bezos to have $180 billion, meanwhile, he's destroying the concept of stores, he's destroying the retail industry, destroying jobs for everybody, and using free taxpayer-funded labor from the Postal Service to give people their merchandise that's
made in foreign countries. And he just got FAA approval to launch an army of drones.
Yes, and he's not giving to charity. He's taking that money, and he thinks he's going to blast up to Mars and live up there with aliens or whatever the heck he thinks he's going to do. He's going to turn himself into a half-robot, half-AI, and be a transhumanist.
Remember, we've heard Billy talk about the rise of the robot people in Contact Report 251, and that's called transhumanism, and it's starting to get more and more exposure. Anyway, just a few more minutes of this, and then I want to jump to optimism, because really what happens is a person like in this clip, his name is Patrick Callahan, he's a journalist, and I think he's a really good guy. But he hasn't learned these creational natural laws. He hasn't learned these principles, of course. And, very few people do. So the thinking, the train of thought, runs a certain way. And I bet he's had big trouble with what we call the vicious cycle before. And he must be a person with a lot of inner strength to have survived this long with the way his thoughts are running. But listen to just for a few more minutes, and then we're going to keep flowing and going here.
Sick people, we don't need to give them $180 billion, and we have people walking around in the Matrix thinking, well, that's how the economy works. No, it's not. Has the economy ever worked this way before in the history of the world? They're taking everything. The insect people are taking everything, and they're destroying us, and they're making us broke, and they're kicking us in the face. When I was a kid, and there would be adults being like, oh, you can be whatever you want to be. Go out there. There's a world of opportunity. I would look around even as a kid. I would say, are you high? What are you smoking? This is the worst world I've ever seen, and it's because of the corruption and the incompetence of the last couple of
centuries. Well, that's it. They've designed it. When you read Club of Rome, CFR, all of Davos, they say they want to make us poor to control us. And now you go to Whole Foods, you know, all these magazines about being poor and how cool it is, and it's all a company store, and it's a cult of hating yourself and hating what color you are. I mean, this is so damn dystopian. How much worse does it get? Because he's talking...
Anyway, I don't want to cover too much of that, but there's a lot of... thinking there. It's accurate in many ways. Everything he said, many things he said are true, but he's not neutral positive. He's not equalized and balanced, and that's what we're shooting for. And we want to become optimists. Optimism is in connection with this explanation, does not mean behavior which, for example, is typical of a harlequin or one who fools about, or of an extremely jolly person or a Pollyanna, a carefree person, who is bursting with hope, one bursting with confidence or an enthusiast, and so forth. In fact, that which is meant is that kind of optimistic behavior which enables a human being to see and acknowledge the clear truth. Acknowledge the clear truth, and even in the rottenest situation, to realistically observe and consider the very worst and nonetheless recognize the best and direct his or her striving at that in order to allow the good and evolutive things to become reality. And in order also for him or her to make them real him or herself. Thus, an optimist is therefore no clown or other comical figure. Rather, he or she is a human being who, under the greatest pressure, remains consciously hopeful and happy, and who, in the defiance of all blows, breakdowns, deplorable states of affairs, and so forth, always retains the upper hand in the sense of the conviction for that which is good and for that which is best. So, optimism. I am confident. I am optimistic. I am relaxed. I am cheerful. I'm the master of my own destiny. One of the things that you want to avoid if you want to be the master of your own destiny is what's called the vicious cycle of being controlled by negative repeating thoughts. And this happens to be also covered on page 68, but I'm going to read a few passages quickly from page 26. The might of the thoughts determines the state of the psyche and self-evidently the mode in which the consciousness works. So we have a material consciousness. You got it. Even before you came into this world, your material consciousness was being formed in the spirit realm. Your spiritual consciousness never dies. It's always there. It is in what's called your spirit form. Your spirit form is called the Geist form in the German. And 21 days before this or after the sperm fertilizes the egg, the spirit form comes out of the spirit realm with a material consciousness. And it goes into the mother's womb and it goes to the fetus. And then the spirit form goes to the superior colliculus of the fetus. That's that middle brain area. And it sends energy throughout the whole body of this little fetus. And it's kind of a special lattice structure, a kind of a weave of energy. And the heart starts to beat, the mind starts to think. And a new personality comes in. So you already have certain characteristics in your personality the first day that you're conscious. Before that, what was in the womb wasn't conscious in the sense of a human being. It was, I believe, what the Meyer Information calls it, impulse life. I don't want to talk about that too much until I can get my specifics, my ducks in a row again on that. But the spirit form enters in to the mother's womb. Remember, the mother has its own spirit form. And the spirit form of the mother is in her superior colliculus, in her brain. The spirit form of the child enters into, leaves the spirit realm. It takes it with it, this material consciousness that has, you know, your subconscious, your conscious, your unconscious mind, and it enters into the middle brain of the fetus. See, the little fetus is only 21 days old, has a brain. It now has a spirit form, and the spirit form contains all the wisdom of all the previous lives. And it's not uncommon for a spirit form on earth of a human being to have lived, say, 4 to 6 million years in other lifetimes, prior lifetimes. So we spend a certain amount of time in the spirit realm and a certain amount of time in the physical world. And ideally, you would spend 1.5 times longer in the spirit realm, and the spirit, the Geist form, the spirit form, would go through your whole life, all your material consciousness, and it would create these evolutive values, which would store in itself. And it would program the subconscious of the new consciousness, the new material consciousness. So again, we have the material consciousness, which has the psyche, which regulates and looks after the thoughts and feelings of the material consciousness. It's kind of the leader of the material consciousness. We have something called the feeling, the Gefühl. It creates the feelings and conveys them to the consciousness. And remember, the feelings simplify things for the mind, because thoughts can be very complicated, and if something very complicated is happening, often the body, the mind, will create a feeling to represent that very complicated thing. So the feelings simplify things. They also allow the thoughts to discharge their energy. And by doing that, they keep the psyche from becoming confused. Now, the feeling is different than the emotion. The emotions come suddenly, sometimes very destructive. Emotions can trigger, when emotion is triggered, it can cause murder, manslaughter, really bad things. So the feelings should be allowed to grow. We should never stifle our feelings. Feelings allow us to deal with external stimuli, internal stimuli, complicated situations. They're kind of reduced and simplified to a feeling. Feelings are very important for maintaining life and balance and those sorts of things. So we have the psyche, which looks after the material consciousness, is influenced by the feelings, and it's given power, or it's damaged by negative feelings, negative thoughts. Not all negative thoughts. I would say mostly negative thoughts are damaging, but you can still have a negative thought or feeling that's evolutive if it's still balanced enough. If it's swung too far to the negative, then it will be what they call Gewalt, or it will be just, it'll be very damaging to the psyche. But you can, for example, have a negative feeling or a negative thought that something bad is going to happen. So you look around and you see there's a car heading straight for you, so you step out of the way. That would be an evolutive, helpful negative feeling. So you shouldn't even stifle those, but draw the line. Be careful to draw the line, because mostly, if it's something like anxiety and doubt, that anxiety, what does it say? It is a necessity that we rigorously exclude anxiety and doubt, for they are evil elements of disintegration. They disintegrate your knowledge. So mostly, about 95% of the time, the negative thought is something you don't want to allow to go too far. Now, if it goes too far, you have negative thoughts and you become controlled by negative thoughts, and your consciousness becomes negatively burdened, then you're in the steps of what's called the vicious cycle. More negative thoughts are created, and the might of the negative thoughts prevail in the psyche. And the psyche is influenced in a very negative, damaging way. The psyche then creates negative feelings, and the negative feelings influence the thoughts again. So this These steps occur over and over again. So to eject yourself out of there, speak to your own consciousness. Tell yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful. Then take in the wish dream and go think about this wonderful time a week or two ago when you were walking in the woods with your dogs or something like that. And get your mind off of it. The first thing to do is to restore calm. And a wish dream is a good way to calm the psyche. My psyche calms a lot just from speaking these words in this book out loud. And the other Meyer writings are too. The Love Letter 27 is a fantastic one. Another source of great things to speak out loud is the Way to Live book. I love the one in Love Letter 27. It says, love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and love will forever be the purpose of our existence. Love and wisdom go together, and the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. I think that's Contact Report 10, so I may from time to time throw other things in. There's also one I haven't spoke out loud in a long time, and it's in Kelk der Wahrheit, or the Gobble of Truth, that says, bushes, trees, rivers, stones, everything that crawls and flies on the earth is a life form with a spirit form. And these spirit forms are on a journey through time which involves many, many lifetimes. And these creatures are aware of each other and aware of these psychic swinging waves. That's kind of a little bit of a paraphrase, but makes me think of the birds that fly in a flock and they change direction instantly, or the fish in the school. The psychic swinging waves, somehow we're connected energetically through these wave system, and at some level, I guess it's thought that we're dealing with here, but I think feelings are part of it too. In our spiritual consciousness, we have something called the Gemut, and it's just like the psyche on the material side, but the Gemut looks after the thoughts and feelings of the spiritual consciousness. So it's kind of the administrator, and it sends quiet impulses of wisdom over to the psyche. And this gives the psyche the ability to get advice from this spirit form that's 4 to 6 million years old. The psyche may be only a few hours old, a few weeks old, 10 years old, maybe a couple decades old. But make sure you kind of pay attention to these quiet impulses of wisdom that come from the spirit form. So they can save you sometimes from the vicious cycle. So let me just talk a few seconds more about this vicious cycle. As a result of this reciprocity, a vicious cycle comes into being, which brings about increasingly negative effects. The mites of the thoughts become ever stronger. Suddenly, the thoughts get stuck in an endless cycle and become manic as a result of their inherent might. So be very careful. What happens here is you're focused on one thing, one little thing. Your perceptive ability is narrowed, and you're focused on one little thing, and this happens to be something bad, and you're thinking bad thoughts, and you're obsessing over it, and your thoughts become out of control. Your thoughts really are not your own at this point. They're kind of automatic thoughts. So break that cycle. Recognize the next time when you fall into that cycle. So anyway, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day. And study the Might of the Thoughts book, The Way to Live, The Psyche, The Talmud of Emmanuel, Kelk der Wahrheit, the Contact Reports. I was going to talk about them tonight, but for some reason I didn't. We'll catch you next.